Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's sermon is our gospel reading, which begins, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Thus far the text, you may be seated. An hour's pay for an hour's work. You reap what you sow, you get out what you put in. A day's wage for a day's work. And we expect God to operate by the same rules. We expect God to be fair. We expect Him to recognize and reward our blood, sweat, and tears. Then along comes the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And Jesus drops a loose bolt into the machinery of our fairness. It comes on the heels of one of those upside-down statements from Jesus, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Winners are losers, and losers are winners." Is it fair? No, not a bit. God isn't fair. He's just, and He's gracious, but He isn't fair. The parable bears retelling. A vineyard owner went out to hire workers for his vineyard. He has a vineyard busting full of grapes. And like all the fine grapes at the end of September, their sugar is perfect. Their flavor is at its fullness. The little yeasts sticking to their skins are ready for action. The wine master says, "It's picking time. There's no time to waste." So he gets in his pickup at the crack of dawn and goes down to the local union hall of the grape pickers Local 101 and hires every available worker at union scale. A denarius a day, about $120, and off they go into the vineyards. The owner looks over his vineyard and notes that the workers he's hired are barely making a dent. So about 9 o'clock in the morning, he gets back in his pickup and heads over to the local Home Depot, where day laborers hang out looking for work. "Work in my vineyard and I'll give you whatever is right." He doesn't say how much, just whatever is right. The word, by the way, is righteous or just. The workers figure, hey, he pays union, why not? And off they go to work in the vineyard. Again, he looks out over his ripening vines and at the clouds looming overhead. Looks like rain's on the way. And the Chardonnay really needs to be picked. So he heads again at noon and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and picks up whatever workers he can find. Still, there aren't enough. It's 5 o'clock, the sun's sinking, and there's still grapes to pick. So the owner goes over to the local bar, where he encounters, well, how shall we describe it? Tattoos, leather, pierced body parts, music with the bass loud enough to reprogram a pacemaker at 200 yards. The owner looks at his watch, looks up at the setting sun and the gathering clouds, lets out a long sigh, goes over to turn off the offending boombox and says, "Look, I'm rich. I pay. I need workers. You need work. It'll only be for an hour. So what do you think?" And they figure, hey, it's only an hour. A few bucks will buy some more beer. Why not? And they go off to work in the vineyard. Now, you know how people are, especially at work. Everyone wants to know what everyone else is making. You know how much fuss there is when someone finds out what the rest of the office makes, especially when someone gets paid more for doing less. So as load after load of worker gets dropped off in the field at 9, at noon, at 3, and at 5, you can be sure that before they touch a single grape, they're asking the workers who are already there what the owner's paying today. And when they find out it's a denarius a day, they do what the whole human race always does, math. Before they even touch a cluster of Cabernet, they have the owner figured out and are sure that they're going to get $100, $70, $40, and $10, respectively. At 6 o'clock, The bell tolls and the fun begins. The grapes are in the hopper on their way to the crusher, and the vineyard owner is one happy camper. He's in a happy mood and an expansive mood, and he says to the foreman, "Let's have a little fun. I'm going to fill out the pay envelopes myself, and when you hand them out to the workers, do it LIFO. Last in, first out." And so the first girl in, with purple hair and a nose ring, gets her envelope. So she walks off, cracking her gum, and opens it to find 6 crisp 20s. And what does she do? Well, the one thing she doesn't do is go back to the foreman and inform him of the accounting error. She just keeps walking, and really fast. And when her bare-chested boyfriend with tattoos running up one arm and down the other catches up with her, he can't resist going back to the end of the line and telling all the hard-working union guys how they just got a day's wage for an hour's work. And what do you suppose the rest of the workers in line are thinking? They're thinking $120 an hour, which if you're at the end of the line with all the day workers, well, that comes to $1,440. And so one by one, they step up to the table, rubbing their hands together, expecting the biggest payday of their grape-picking life. But in all their figuring, they hadn't figured on one thing. The owner's pay is based on his goodness, not on their work. And in his goodness, he gives 6 crisp 20s to everyone, regardless of how much or how little they worked, whether 12 hours or 1 hour, whether they picked 100 bushels or half a bushel. Each worker gets his or her denarius, and as the line of the workers gets shorter, the faces get longer. "Not fair," says the sweatiest and most exhausted. "We've knocked ourselves out in the heat for the whole day, and those pot-smoking deadbeats worked less than an hour. That's not fair." But the old owner won't hear any of it. "Look, pal," he says, "a denarius is what we agreed on, and a denarius is what you got. What's the gripe? If I want to give a full day's wage to some 11th-hour deadbeats, that's my business, not yours. And who said anything about fair? I may be crazy, but I'm not fair. Fair has to do with the law, with bookkeeping. I'm good, as in good news, as in gospel. And in my crazy goodness, if I choose to be outrageously gracious and give everyone the same, regardless of the work they did, what difference does that make to you? Or are you so busy keeping book on everyone else that you resent my goodness?" "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." The parable of the workers in the vineyard is a parable both of grace and of judgment. Grace for those who least deserve it. Judgment for those who resent it, who turn the evil eye to God because he isn't fair and dispenses salvation for free. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die for the world, not just for the redeemable, respectable, cooperative, hardworking part of the world, but for the whole world, for the first hour winners and the 11th hour losers. Jesus was going to Jerusalem to close the books of the law once and for all, to become last among the losers, to save every last loser in this world. This parable reminds us that amazing grace is also outrageous grace. It galls the religious. It grates on our religious sensibilities. It's grace that puts the first last and the last first. It makes winners out of losers and losers out of winners. John the Baptist, who worshiped Christ from the womb gets the same salvation as a terrorist who turns to Jesus at the 11th hour of his life and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The lifelong Lutheran gets the same denarius as the drunk driver who says, "Jesus, have mercy on me," as he crashes through the windshield on the way to his death at the 11th hour, 59th minute, 59th second of his life. Nothing irritates the religious world more than undeserved kindness. It just doesn't seem fair, this upside-down, undeserved goodness. And the labor unions of religion howl at the thought. Unfair to Commandment Keepers Union Local 101. But then grace wouldn't be grace, would it? It would be bookkeeping. And if the world could have been saved by bookkeeping, it would have been saved by Moses with his Ten Commandments, and not Jesus with his bloody cross. It's unfair, at least from the perspective of the first hour workers. And in one sense, many of us are among the first hour workers, or maybe more accurately, the third or sixth hour ones. We were baptized as babies. We've grown up in the church. There's never been a moment of our conscious life when we did not know Jesus as our Savior. We've worked in his vineyard our whole lives, literally grown up there, and we can easily resent those 11th hour converts who benefit from everyone else's hard work without lifting a finger themselves. Jesus would remind us that we rob ourselves of the joy of working in our Lord's vineyard, and we spoil the happy hour of the resurrection when we live by the law and insist on keeping books on ourselves and each other. There's no joy in work if we're worried about what the next guy is making. And there's no joy in rising to eternal life if we expect grace for ourselves but deny it to others. Grace is undeserved kindness, unconditional kindness, kindness on the part of God that has nothing to do with what we did or didn't do, whether we are a success or a failure. And if a dying thief on the cross or a drunk hurtling through the windshield get the same denarius as we do, well, then praise be to Jesus that it is truly grace through trust in the dead and risen Jesus that we're saved and not by anything that we do. If there's room enough in the kingdom for 11th hour losers, for hookers and tax collectors and thieves, then there's room enough in the kingdom for me or you. And again, we aren't really first hour workers, are we? Others have believed before us. Others have suffered before us, and much more than we have. St. Paul reminded the Christians at Rome that the Jews came first. The church is a curious hybrid of Jew and Gentile grafted onto Israelite root stock. And we too are heirs of a tradition. We aren't the first to believe in Christ. There have been workers in the vineyard for nearly 2,000 years. The disciples, St. Paul, Ignatius, Irenaeus, Augustine, Ambrose, Athanasius, Luther. There were countless nameless believers who bore the heat of persecution, who defended the faith, who suffered for the name of Jesus. And now, in these last days, at the 11th hour, with the sun setting on this old creation, when the fields ripe and harvest near, the Lord of the vineyard has been so kind as to call us to work in the same vineyard. What a privilege. When you look at it that way, we are the last, the least, the losers at the end of the line. We came on the scene when the bulk of the work was already done. And we get the same denarius, the same salvation, the same resurrection to life in Jesus as all who came before us. In fact, if we push the parable just a little bit harder, we'll recognize that we haven't done a blessed thing to earn our denarius. It was there in an envelope with your name on it long before you ever showed up for work. And even the work you showed up for was God's doing. And so whether first or last, whether called at the first, the third, the sixth, the ninth, or even the 11th hour, whether we have worked hard or little, or barely at all, there's a denarius of salvation awaiting us. It was won for all by the death of Jesus. That may not be fair, but then God isn't fair. He's good, and he's gracious. Amen.